This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ooh, are you trying to get your mug a beat? Are you trying to contour those brow bones? Maybe you're trying to lift those cheeks, mommy. Well, if you're going to do it, you need to do it with a quality product. That's why I am tired of beauty products not meeting my standards. It's time to reshape the beauty world as we know it. Well, wait no longer. Meet Worthy We Cosmetics, the first sustainable luxury beauty brand in the U.S. I love Worthy We because they have amazing cream bronze tours, as they say them, which is sort of like this cream blush that sculpts your skin and also like covers all the imperfections. As a newer drag queen, I need help from a gorgeous product like this because Worthy We Cosmetics are vegan, cruelty-free, and even the packaging is biodegradable. So not only do I get my bronze tour shade like perfectly blended into my mug, I'm able to build like a new beauty routine. It's so easy to use unlike some products that are confusing. These cream blushes are buildable in a way that you can't go wrong. Like they're unbelievable. They're unrivaled. It's become a beauty favorite for me. Truly, the wear and finish is smooth, clean. I know you're going to love them as much as I do, especially if someone like me who's brand new to creams and contourings, if you're as new as I am and you could look as smooth as this skin is looking, you're going to love it. So treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand right now. Treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20%. Oh my God. 20% off your first order at Worthy We Cosmetics, spelled WORTHYOUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER. That's Worthy OUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER for 20% off your first order.
Hello.
Hey. Oh, a lovely Sunday morning to you. Welcome to church. This is Drag Her Podcast, the only outlet for drag intel on the whole internet. We're so glad you're joining us. I'll just vamp as some people come in. Hi, Pot. Hi, Effie. Hi, I'm not gagging. Maybe at the stench. Thank y'all for joining us. We're so excited to talk UK. If you want to listen to last week's episode with Meatball, you can. It's on the pod feed. If you want to support me, go ahead and just fucking Venmo or PayPal me at my name, Manu Agapian. Rate us 5 stars on the podcast apps, on the Apples. And we have really exciting news because for tomorrow's US app, we're going to be joined by the one and only Rachel Bloom. So we're so gagged to have her back to talk US. But we don't have time for that right now because we need to talk UK and we need to have our guest join us. He's juicy. He's thick. He's a whole lot of man. We are so excited to chat with Big Dipper. And he's bringing it to the runway. Runway. Run, 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 runway. You know he makes way too many podcasts. He feeds the gay community with his genius. Let's see if we can get him to join. I thought I asked him to join, but maybe I messed it up, you guys. It worked! Oh my God. Hi, Queen.
Hi. Just error message on error message every time I tried to click join.
I'm so sorry. I mean, I blame Instagram, so I don't know why I'm apologizing.
The technology.
Hi. I'm so glad it worked. Glad it worked. Hi, girl. What's up?
Not much. Just I was watching the live, aggressively trying to join. But yeah, I was sitting here reflecting on this season of UK, and I am I have a lot of opinions after this
episode. Good. I'm glad you do because a part of me felt like this was a filler episode, but thanks to your intel, we'll have a lot to say. Do you have anything to say about Ahura going home?
I mean, I was bummed because in the beginning, I thought after one or two episodes, she was sort of like one note. And then she really blossomed. Like,
totally.
Snatch Game was so great. It was so great to see her, like, really, like, I loved that moment when her and Tia Coffey became friends. And then Ahura was like, I'm not just about the visual. I've got substance. Like, I loved that. And so seeing someone, like, grow... Mm-hmm. And then get sent home while there are other people in the competition who, from what we can see, are just sort of continuing to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's frustrating to me.
Mm-hmm. Agree. Ahura was rot. She was taken from us. I don't, you know, it's that thing in like the horror movie where like she was murdered. Is it good entertainment? Maybe. But you don't want to see, Tatum get trapped in the doggy door of the garage door and die. Unless you realize it's Rose McGowan and she's a TERF and she should fuck off. You know, it's, but Ahura had a genuine arc, like a genuine, I am sorry I was an asshole arc. That was really fun.
She honestly had the kind of arc that a queen has before they come back to win an All-Star season.
Totally.
Yeah.
It was a big, incredible. I love her. I would have liked to see her in the top four. Now that we have a top four, but you know, these gals are great. You know, we're choosing between great and greater.
Of course.
Any other rogue thoughts? What do you think about Ginny's walk away from the lip sync?
Ginny's walk away is a little frustrating to me. We had Ginny Levin on the podcast that co-hosts with Meatball.
It was a really fun episode. I've heard it.
We had a great time. She's amazing. I there's a little bit, you know, and I'm sure you say this constantly on the show where just like, this is about, you know, just being, you know, I don't know. I would never go on the show because I'm not a drag queen. But there's a little bit that's frustrating to me. It's like, if you're going to go on the show, like, play the game. Like, do the thing.
I agree.
Walk away. Like, lip sync in the way that only Ginny Lemon could lip sync.
I know. How fun and weird would that have been?
And for queens who are like, I sing live, I don't lip sync, like, all of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, to that we say...
You're going on a show where one of the key elements of the show is a lip sync. So
we do sushi on the show. Yeah. We do sushi on the show, to quote RuPaul. I make sushi once a year. And when I do, it's not very good. We don't need that excuse. We don't need that. I agree. I would love to have seen that. But, you know, Ginny, she's back in this finale app, so I'm excited to see just any part of her.
Right. I'm so grateful she was on television. I love that we get to see that. And I love how boldly they cast her, because they've not put a queen like that on the U.S. version. And so I think Ginny did open a door for a way more sort of out-of-the-box avant-garde queen to be on a future cast of the US season.
I agree. I love that. I mean, yeah, UK has already had a few hairy queens in both seasons. Will we see it on US? Hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
Dip, so you're not going to do drag, but you should. do you have a drag name? Do you have a drag name in your arsenal, or is Big Dipper your drag name?
Well, I mean, sure, exactly. No, I don't know. Okay, so there is also this conversation swirling because I didn't really pay attention to the weaponizing your BFA tweet.
Okay, I saw this tweet and it was so shitty.
Right, and like the idea behind it being, you don't have a love for drag, but you have all the skills, so you learn how to do drag
order
as a last-ditch effort to put those skills to use and then go on reality TV.
This is just the kind of malicious faggotry I did not expect. I did not expect it. I think it's so basic to attack a talented queer person. Yeah, of course. I do. Yeah, the meme culture that inspired was very funny.
For me, I'm like, just because I have the skills to do it doesn't necessarily mean that I would go down that that mm-hmm. road because I, you know, I was listening to, I don't know. I listen to so many people talk about queer things.
Totally.
All the podcasts I produce.
On Get Into Mom.
Alaska.
Muggles of media.
Right, exactly. But Alaska was talking about, like, the feeling of being in drag. And it was possibly mm-hmm. with Nicole on her podcast or on one of our
shows.
But it was that thing of, like, it's not a fetish, but it is sort of, like, something emotional and spiritual that, like, elevates, the, like, the being for Alaska. And I realized, like, that to me is, like, what is the line between weaponizing your BFA and actually feeling like
yeah.
you need to do drag to express yourself. Again, just because you have the skills to do it doesn't necessarily mean.
You but know what show you need to be on?
What?
You need to be on Slag Wars.
Ooh, I mean,
how good would you be on Slag Wars?
Probably good. If they had a dick sucking competition, I would win
See,
that one.
I did want it to be dirtier. Like, why can't we get it a little dirtier? It was so PG. It was, come on.
Produced by men.com. And it was,
I know.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that? I honestly would love to see you in a dick sucking competition.
And it's like, how do you even judge it?
Well, it would be weird because it would be hot, but I would also feel like a proud soccer mom. You know, I'd be like, yes, go.
What do you judge? It's like they're probably all gonna come. It's a dick getting sucked. Like even like most people.
No,
come
there's better
a bad blowjob.
There's better blowjobs. There are certain blowjobs I've seen from adult film workers who I'm like, wow, you love cock. Like, and it's really.
And then other people where you're like, wow, you're straight.
Yeah. It's the closed eyes for me. But, you know, anytime you're like, your eyes are a little too closed, you're like, you don't love this.
To me, it's when the mouth is literally not doing anything but being open.
Oh, like, that's good.
That's not a blowjob. You've just made the space inside your mouth available. But you're not actually sucking dick.
There's something. Yeah, there's definitely a gratitude. You know, there's a gratitude on a good dick sucker's face that is clockable.
Right, right, exactly.
I guess we should talk about UK.
Sure.
Okay. Do you have any other opinions on the, what I'm calling Shangela's Revenge, the stand-up gate? You know, the conspiracy behind the stand-up thing that happened between Lawrence and Ellie.
I truly would like to turn Lawrence into a football and punt him out of the stadium. I do not understand. It's not even an interesting story. It's just annoying, and you look and sound butthurt. And you're 23 years old and acting like a 75-year-old who had decades of doing something a certain way, and one person changed it, and now you're being like old and grumpy. Like I honestly have no idea why they kept that conversation going. I would rather just have been more like tearful letters from their mothers than Lawrence being upset yet again. There are only four people in the show. Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. reason the show was awkward was because of COVID, because there was no mm-hmm. audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that show the show order was so low on the list of things that caused someone to go home.
Yeah, I agree. Lauren, and especially Lawrence, she's so talented. And it's just like, let it go. You are talented. RuPaul literally is like, RuPaul is like treating you like Regina George. You know what I mean? RuPaul is like, so what are you doing later? Like, what are you doing this weekend? Like,
I feel like Bimini Bamboulash won the entire season by her reaction to Ellie doing that order, which was, it's shady, but play the game. I'm going to be funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we were all like, oh, you're a grown adult who doesn't care about dumb shit. We love you.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited to see this finale. I'm excited to see how this turns out. Okay, let's see. What else happens? I think they're counting badges.
I see this. Can I read a comment that I see here?
I would love that. Yes.
Okay. This is from that gay rugger who is Devin, who's a professional out gay sports
very
athlete.
Sexy. I love that gay rugger.
And says, Lauren's been struggling to focus on themselves and not the competition since the lockdown break. And I agree. I feel like when Lawrence came back, they were so like scrambled in their brain from the break. And I think it's really affected like their performance in the show.
Isn't that interesting? Because are all of her wins from pre-COVID? Or is
kind
one
of
them kind
and
of.
You know who and you know who came back a fucking powerhouse is Bimini.
So Bimini was doing something. She was that girl who was like, well, I actually just went to like Hawaii for like 4 weeks and I like recentered myself and I'm better for it.
Bimini is the girl who, when she says like, I need self-care and like takes a bubble bath and actually relaxes, it's good for her. And Lawrence is the girl who's like, I need self-care and just spirals in anxiety that they're not doing anything while they're taking a bath. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She like, when you put on a mask and you're just like, feel good.
Feel good, you guys. Feel good.
I get that. I don't get baths myself. I can't do it.
I'm too nerdy. The water gets filthy immediately and then what am I gonna do?
I love it. Okay, what do you think about the puppets? Right, we have puppets, our this tradition.
Sure.
Because everyone loves puppets. And,
Do they?
I feel like I want more from everyone. More meanness.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like puppets work sometimes, but I don't know. Did they have the same relationship to puppets in the UK that we do here? I know that sounds like a dumb question, but honestly, after the puppets, every joke went over my head in this episode. It was so UK focused. So then
very
I was sort
UK.
Of like, maybe the puppet thing also didn't really translate.
Yes, I know what you mean. Like definitely the rest of the episode, I was like, all over me. Who the fuck is Mickey? God bless this Natalie Cassidy, but I don't know who you are.
Right.
But the puppets was, I just wanted more reading, more shit talking. They're all so charming. So even when they weren't like doing that much, I was like, this is better than watching someone flatline on a puppets. You know, sometimes, that happens.
They all did
like,
well.
Yeah. They were all just like interesting. But I don't know if they were like hilarious. There's a few really uncomfortable puppet performances. I want to say even like Gigi Good had a weird one, and like Courtney Act had a weird one where she tried to make Darian, or she was making fun of Darian Lake.
Yeah,
and it was
and
she's Australian,
right? Is that because of the puppets?
She was like, I don't get it.
There are a few things. Well, I'm curious who makes the puppets, because the puppets, when they come out in the non-drag look, are always so cute, because they're like
so
modeled.
Cute.
They're like modeled after the interview look, so they look so adorable and they're so cute and well made. And then the other thing is like, what is the formula for winning puppets? It's not being too conceptual and not necessarily even being that funny. It's just repeat a bunch of stuff that they have said on the show, make sure it's accurate, and like pull one visual gag.
My two favorite puppet performances are both just big roasts, like Chi Chi making fun of Bob when she's like, New York, I love New York.
Yes.
Joke. That was gaggy. And Ben de la Creme making fun of Bianca, which was like, assholes, New York. It's also New York. I think they should all die, baloney. That was
and
great.
Alaska on season 5 doing the tearaways under the tearaways for Roxy.
Very funny. Very funny. I got a tearaway underneath my tearaway. Hey.
And it's, because they're not that conceptual, because they're literally just This is what you did last week. Now I'm doing it in puppet form.
That's it. That's it. Because that's what puppets are. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you have a favorite puppet, like fucking Cookie Monster, it's not conceptual. It's just me want cookie.
Honey, me want cookie every day.
You want cocky every day.
Wow. Bukkake, come on.
I miss the torrid tales of Big Dipper's sex life. I miss it. Are they getting freaky deaky, or are we still following COVID protocol?
We're following COVID protocol. It's
good
it's,
for you.
It's dry like the Sahara over here.
Like the Bibi Sahara?
Bine. Like the Bibi Sahara. but yeah, I don't know. I've definitely been experimenting with multiple barriers in different ways.
Love that. I'm hearing a lot of positive things from the CDC.
Yes, glory holes, masking, you know, which I love because it's the least intimate way to do any sort of physical sex stuff. And I am right on board with that.
I love it.
Yeah, it's a countdown to the vaccine over here.
It's a countdown. Good, good, good. And you, have you ever, I mean, because you have fans who very much enjoy your sexual adventures. Have you ever considered going OnlyFans, Dipper?
No, because I'm like too much work.
Yeah. That's
it's
real.
Like work in a different way. First of all, people wanting to see me in a sexual way feels weird to me. I only feel empowered to be like, you know, like naked and super sexy in my music and music videos because it's all like very specifically curated. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same thing. It's like if you were to like ask a pop star who, you know, is willing, you know, is like grease up my body, you know, put like a little gold leaf over here and like an illusion, you know, and they're like basically full nude, but you're like, when's the fuck tape coming out? They're like, oh, never. It's sort of that vibe for me. And
yeah.
And honestly, like I have a lot of friends who make porn and I have a lot of shy friends who make porn. Like talking on the phone, you have to like pull conversation out of them just because they're like not talkative and
totally
kind of shy. And then I'm like, you have spread your full asshole on the internet and like bounced from dick to dick to dick and like monetize it and proudly share it on your Twitter account. But like when I ask you like how's your day going, you just say fine. And I'm like, well, what happened? Let's be friends. Let's talk about it. I'm so fascinated by that. So I'm very much the opposite. I'm like,
yeah, you know, you're like super sexual and body, but not really doing
also,
it on film.
Also, the everyone loves to like film themselves, whether they're putting it out into the world or not. They like want to like watch it back on their phones. Mm-hmm. And I am always like knocking phones out of people's hands. I'm like, what are you doing? Let's just be here. What, like, why do you want to like be doing sex, but then also like holding a phone to watch it? I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah. You're not there. I agree. That's weird. But having said that, I do want to see the OnlyFans where you're sucking a dick and editing an episode of Race Chaser because you're just like, you're so busy. You've got to do both. And Race Chaser, I understand, is some sort of podcast that compares racers or some sort of like, it's like a Formula One podcast or something.
It's actually deep discussions about race in America.
Beautiful. I have to check it out.
Yeah,
you might I have to.
It's this interesting thing where they do it through the lens of reviewing every single episode of Drag Race that has ever been made.
Oh my God. Yes. Another Drag Race podcast.
Yeah. Couldn't believe it. Huh?
Work. Good for y'all.
Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But Now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like, to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me decrap my brain. Because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go visit betterhelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Okay. What do you think about BeastEnders? What do you want to say about, or even just the rehearsal process of BeastEnders, all of it?
Well, I love the like Zoom phone call with the actress. What did you say her name was? Something Cassidy?
Oh, Natalie Cassidy, I believe.
So yes. What I loved, the one factoid that I loved the most about that was she said, I started on the show when I was 10 years old. Did you clock that when she said that?
No, I missed that.
She was like, I started on the show when I was playing a 10-year-old. So maybe she was like 12 or 13, but she was like, uh-huh. I was playing a 10-year-old whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then she sort of was like, you know, she said, I've done this, I've done that, I've gotten into a fight, I've had an affair, I've done, you know, all these things on the show. And I love that thing about like soap operas that they've been on the air for 25 seasons. You know,
crazy.
Crazy
stories.
If you choose for that to be your lane, like, mm-hmm, I don't watch it. Housewives, but I'm curious, like, Lisa Rinna was probably on the soap opera for 15 years. Like, and if you're a child, you know, say you start when you're 13, it's like, you'll be in your 30s and still on the TV show.
Totally. I used to watch Bold and the Beautiful with my mom, and some of those people are still on there. It's shocking. But I mean, they look really crazy because everyone's like 70 trying to look 45, which, you know, God bless them. But the plucking and tuckings you can see on these actors' faces is just wild.
I just think it would be so wild to play another character. I mean, okay, I was talking to a friend of mine who was in one of my first ever music videos, and we shot it in like 2011. So like, mm-hmm, I have been Big Dipper for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is interesting to be like, imagine playing a character on a TV show. You go in 5 days a week for, you know, 6 or 8 months out of the year, and you're, mm-hmm, acting as so-and-so, and then you're also living your normal life, and like the whole nation sees you grow up on TV. Like, that is so wild.
It's very weird. It's very weird. That's you have to feel for all child actors.
Do you think that the Queens, it's like the same as Anne Hathaway coming into the US version? Was it like the same level of celebrities?
Hi, my gay boys. I wonder. I mean, they seem genuinely excited. She seemed very funny. Yeah, the Anne Hathaway thing is such a funny thing.
Wait, do you see this? EastEnders has no seasons. Four times a week. It has no breaks. She's been on the show for 20 plus years.
That's so crazy. What do you mean no seasons? How do you catalog the episodes? Just numbers. Yeah. Fucking crazy. I think they were excited to see her. Yeah. Anne Hathaway too. Work. Go her.
Anne Hathaway too. You're so shady. but as far as the act, like the script of the thing went,
yeah,
no idea what was happening. Didn't get a single joke. Like, they were all like, this is funny, you guys did a great job, the joke is this. I'm like, what is the
I
joke?
Loved the performances. I was like, these are great performances. But I know what you mean. They're like, they're clearly reprising a popular, famous scene. Great. But I wasn't connecting with it.
And I can almost guarantee you the whole UK audience was like super into it. But it didn't land for me as like never seeing EastEnders. So I didn't understand BeastEnders.
Beast. I will say, I love that the UK leaves us in the dust. I really do. I love that they're not that worried about entertaining us. They're just like, come along for the ride or don't. You know, it's up to you.
They did that similarly with Canada.
Uh-huh.
There were a lot of like really heavy Canadian references when they did Drag Race Canada or Canada's Drag Race. And so, I'm into it because they're like, you know what? We've been having to deal with people use U.S. terminology and, you know, talk about, you know, like, I can't even pick out what are the things that people don't know about. I just came across this TikTok of this, like, young girl who tries American food trends, and she's from the UK, and she had never had ranch before.
Okay, yes, I think I saw this on the internet.
And someone, like, shipped her the ranch, and she tried it, and she was like, this is very good. It's like, well, I guess if they don't have it over there, you would have never had it. You're fucking 18 years old. You're 20 years old, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's real. They don't have peanut butter and grease, by the way. So, you know what I mean? So it's just like, don't know, didn't have it. So, not that I grew up in Greece, but like when I've been there, I'm like, peanut butter? Like, no, ma'am. Not happening. You're like,
do you have any peanuts? You just like mash them and like, a little more oil.
No. Nutella. That's they only fuck with Nutella. That's it.
Not a bad thing to fuck with, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, this was fun. I thought everyone was doing just amazing performances. Maybe Ellie's was like the least amazing, but you know, no one did like bad, you know, except for like dropping lines like a motherfucker.
Well, okay, let me ask you a couple questions.
Talk to me.
Tace's character's name was Karen.
Uh-huh, and she should have been more of a Karen?
Well, and literally her first line is like, I want to speak to the manager.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I didn't understand. Because if she was emulating a character from EastEnders, that's why she wore the breastplate, that's why, you know, like, so she was probably doing an accurate portrayal of who it was supposed to be. But then in the script, they were leaning into the Karen of it. So, like, she could have had the big tits and a Karen haircut. You know what I mean? I don't know. It didn't matter to me. But when Michelle pointed it out, I was like, yeah, what? Did she really miss
the whole blame the writers. It's like trying to decode Breast World. The fucking craziest acting challenge in Drag Race history. This does not make sense. It does not map over. It does not translate. Do not pass go. Do not collect this week's maxi challenge. It's a mess. So it's, I don't think we should pretend.
When the writing is like that, you just have to make your success on your own.
Yeah. Just when the camera hits, you go, ah! That's it.
What?
That's it.
What about Michelle's directing hair? Can we talk about it? The high pony with the wisps of gray. It was so good.
Every version of her black and gray hair is so fierce. I love it.
Manila is just quaking.
You. yeah, I think this was fun. Now, should we talk about the next mystery in this episode? The Panto Dames?
Yes. What do you know about Panto?
Nothing. I refuse to educate myself because I am American. American.
Yes, good.
What do you know?
I spent a little time living in London when I was in college. And so I went to see a couple Pantos. And so I don't have a strong enough reference point to list, like, these are all the, you know, characters, like, but, you know, there's, like, a villain and a this one and a dumb one and a clown. And, like, they're all just over-exaggerated. And they happen annually. And there are different types for different regions. And they retell stories that we all sort of, like, know. I honestly think the Panto I saw was Aladdin.
Really?
Yeah. And it's, like, they're, like, children's stories. But then there's, like, body humor mixed in there. And it's all really over the top, hugely dramatic. And obviously, there are, like, all of those sight gags where it's, like, when they both, you know, both Lawrence and Bimini, like, flipped up their skirt to reveal a message.
Right.
Or their, like, bloomers or whatever.
Just thank you, gay ruggers confirming. And hi, Lauren!
Right.
Yes. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, okay. Look at that.
Look at her! It's a little bit like Commedia dell'arte. So it's a little bit like that.
Right, where it's like the person, you know, and it's like a lot of stuff doesn't fully make sense in a linear way, where, like, you know, the person will be running or whatever and they'll trip and they'll fall and it'll reveal, you know, it's behind you or they're behind you and the person will see it. And it's like none of that is real, but it's this over, and there's a huge audience participation. I forget what they did on the show, but it was like, Rue was like, are you ready? And the judges panel was like, no, we're not. And she was like, yes, you are. And they were like, no. There's a lot of, like, where the villain, you know, the evil character will be like, should I go get them? And the whole audience, like, boos or says, like, no.
Mm-hmm.
They're like kids shows, super over the top and always a drag queen.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so and also, who the fuck is Mickey? Who the fuck is Mickey? The fuck is Mickey?
What is your guess?
I'm guessing it's a character from EastEnders named Mickey, or yes?
I assume. And I assume the original plan was to have a person there to be in the skit. And then due to COVID, they didn't. But I didn't understand why they didn't just, like, book another guest judge or have Alan Carr there. Like, it kind of felt shitty to have a mannequin on the judges' table.
Yeah. It's so funny.
Especially after, correct me if I'm wrong, they filmed the first half of UK, stopped for lockdown, came to the States, filmed 13, then went back to the UK.
I think that's 100% correct.
So they spent all this time filming 13 and understanding COVID safety, and they had Jennifer Saunders on last week. It's like, why didn't they just bring a human?
I don't know either. It's fucking crazy. I get it. Maybe they're just trying to be safe. They're like, can we have fun with this? We'll pretend the thing is talking. But, you know, Mickey is not, does not an Ornatia make, you know? And ooh. So.
Who do you think did Mickey's voice?
Oh my God. I don't know.
I have another theory. That
talk to
it
me.
Was the actor playing Mickey, but he had just undergone a facelift. And so he didn't want to be seen on camera. And so they said, we'll use your voice. We'll keep you on the show, but we'll use a mannequin and play it off like it's for COVID safety. That's my theory.
Okay. And I agree with, I'll buy that. Thank you. I'll buy that. And I love what Gay Rugger is saying. Let Raven be on the panel.
No, you know Rue's rule. No other drag queens can be on the judging panel.
I didn't know that was a hard and fast rule.
Show me where a drag queen has been on the panel.
You're right. You're 100% right. My God. Yeah, there you go. It's never going to happen. Okay, should we chirp and burp the looks?
Yes.
Really quick. Let's talk about these panto dames. Love what Rue is wearing. Disco ho. That's great. Lawrence giving us this sewing machine, pin cushion, Cinderella style panto dame for me. What do you think? Is that a chirp or a burp?
I think it's a chirp. I loved it. I loved the multiple elements of it, but it was still very, appealing. I know we're not there yet, but, comparing it to Ellie's look, which also looked like a panto look, Lawrence's looks like a drag panto look, and so I really liked that. The oversized elements, it was so clever to have the measuring tape on the waist measure, sewing machine on the head, you're like, what's going on? But then she bent over so easily, and you're like, that's a hollowed out sewing machine.
I didn't even think about that.
It was all very successful to me. Again, I have no right to judge any of this. I didn't live for her makeup. I feel like I've seen her paint a lot bolder. There was something very thin to everything that she did, which felt sort of weird to me. But I agree. Overall, it was thumbs up.
Totally. It's a chirp for me. It was incredible. And I think you're just right. The face makeup was great, but I've seen it even better. So yes. I was like, oh, okay. I can be better. It's a chirp. Okay. Here we go. Taste giving us this Tinkerbell moment. Make it Naomi Campbell. Foxtails. Panto twiggy fairy thing.
Chirp down. I mean, Taste is so pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty.
So pretty.
Yeah.
So pretty. Can you believe she feels weird about being stunningly gorgeous? Can you believe that?
It's wild. Do you mean out of drag?
I guess so. You know, the storyline of her feeling like, oh, I think I'm weird. I must be bad because I'm single. We're like, what? Look at you.
Well, I think I was, I forget who I was telling. I was retelling the I went on one date and got chlamydia and gonorrhea. The taste story.
The taste story.
I was telling it to someone who didn't watch the show, so they wouldn't understand the reference. And I was and they were like, oh, that's kind of rough, but you just pop a pill and get over that. And I was like, yeah, but not when you're 18 and it's the first time you've had sex.
Yeah.
And I can understand how that could have an effect on you for a decade. And I could understand how if you get wrapped up in your drag persona and your drag career, it's actually really easy to make excuses to not try to date when your job is doing drag and drag is happening in social spaces. So you don't socialize, you're at work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really easy to sort of step back and go I got to get my beauty rest. I got to go here. I can't. They're not interested in me. They're interested in the fantasy and the model. I'm wearing a costume. So I get it. I sort of get how we got to where we are now with Taste. But I think things are going to change after she's been on TV. I think she's going to realize that a lot of people want a taste of Taste.
That's incredible. Tasty. I love that. I agree. And it's a chirp. It's great. It's great. There's nothing bad about this. The hair is stunned. Everything great.
Right. And I think the criticism came from our lack of understanding the panto reference. Because basically they said is it panto? So, yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, and what I can say is, someone who doesn't know in any way what we're talking about, yes, it is panto.
Duh!
It's sickening. No!
Panto boots.
So, next we have, I believe, Bimini giving us weird baby doll with a bell-shaped dress.
Yes. I think this is a chirp, 100%.
Yeah.
I think she delivered it a little weird, but I also, I don't know that I've ever disliked a look that Bimini has created.
I I know. Weirdly, her first look on the runway was the only one that was weird. And
I loved the first look on the runway.
Yeah.
The fucking mullet and the boots and the butt tape. Like, that is me. Like, that's the kind of queen I want to see. So I have never disliked what Bimini has presented visually. So I really enjoyed this. There was something about it where I sort of wish she had sold it as really as a girly girl and like a little girl, and then the surprise would have been something, and then she could have stomped off. But she's a fucking star. She's amazing.
Yeah, she's a star. She's amazing. Yeah, I loved it. I wanted one other stupid thing. I maybe wanted her hair to be stupider or bigger, but like, it was great, and it probably fully fits the prompt, and I don't get it. So chirp on that. Ellie giving us this, she's giving us royal card queen. I love that she looks like a fucking card. I do love this look. This is my favorite look she's ever done. I'll say that. I really like it. The colors, the stunningness, the fun goofiness of the makeup, but it still looks really, really lovely.
I feel, okay, so the two things about this that made me not like it were her hair, the hairline in relation to the makeup color. It felt really like, do you remember Lego characters and how they had wigs or hats that you could just lift off?
Right, it was right here. It was like,
Yeah. To me, the hairline felt like that. And then she, you know, in her narration, she was like, I'm in the biggest poodle, like or like hoop skirt. I loved the shape of it. But do you remember when Katya did a hoop skirt on All Stars 2?
Yeah, like that,
that
bustle,
big,
that
bulbous.
Yeah, I think it was the last runway.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
To me, I'm like, that's where we need to go with it, rather than, because there was some, it felt like an in-between hoop, and because it almost looked empty underneath, you could kind of see underneath it.
There was a break. Yeah, yes. I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
there was something about like the break on the wig line and the break on the thing that just made it look like it didn't fit her right. And when you like looked at her lined up with the others, I really agreed with Bram Norton. I was sort of like, this is the moment for Ellie Diamond to be like, Diva, you've been giving us camp every time on the runway. Go off and give us camp. And it just felt a little, it just, safe when camp lined up with the others, it just felt a little off. But, you know, they talk about stoning things, honey. When a garment is stoned at every inch of it, it just looks pretty.
It does just look pretty. It does look pretty. I think these are 100%. Yeah, I think the also the silhouette is similar to stuff she's worn before, but it still for me was pretty enough. It was pretty, so I was like, this is, for me, it's still a chirp.
Yeah. Well, I will burp it.
Burp it. Fun. Yeah. Oh, our first burp. I love it.
Chirp it.
Burp.
Twist it.
Burp it. Twist it.
Yeah.
Suck it.
Thank you.
Okay, here we go. Not much else happened. There's some shade in the untucked lounges. You know, Tace is sick of lip syncing. Ellie is a little bit blaming Lawrence for her critiques, which is like, girl.
She wasn't. And Lawrence said, when Lawrence said that, I was like, Lawrence, you have a twisted sense of reality. When Lawrence said to Ellie, you are blaming me for your bad critiques. No, that is not what Ellie said. Ellie said, I fucked up a little bit because you fucked up. It threw me off. Uh-huh. That's a very different thing than saying.
But I still disagree. I still disagree with her being able to say that. But yes.
Yes. But we've all been there. We've all been there when here's the difference. Ellie is not a seasoned improviser. Ellie has not acted in a lot of scripts. So, like, if your scene partner fucks up your line, Mono, you're going to be able to go, great, I'll bring us another way to get to the thing that we need.
Sure.
You'll be able to improvise around that. Ellie is probably waiting for the last word of Lawrence's line in order to then say her next line, you know? And so she's going, what? You didn't say fork. Fork is my cue word. What am I going to do now? So I understand, but that really pissed me off because Lawrence was like, you're blaming me for your bad critiques. I'm like, that's not what she's saying. She's saying she fucked up and you helped get her to that fucked up spot.
Yeah.
To me, it's different. And to me, Lawrence like really needs to look in the mirror and not look around the room.
Work. I mean, you're right. She really does. She really needs to just keep her eyes on her own paper. It's just like
the fact that her response was not, I know, what was I doing? I couldn't remember a single line. That was so crazy. We all saw me ask Michelle for a line 100 times in a row. But her response was, no, Ellie, you have to own up to your own shit. I'm like, Lawrence, you have to own up to your own shit.
I love Lawrence. I agree. I 100% agree. She has a little bit of entitlement to like the top 100%. Three or top four, which is like, I wish there was just a drop less of that because I like her so much that I'm like, calm down.
You know what? You know what's happening? It's the Roxy Andrews.
Like, uh-huh.
Where it's like someone is incredible and amazing. And then once it gets down to like 5 or 4 girls left, they start being a little more cutthroat. And then all the fans are going, ooh, you're kind of, I'm not.
Yeah. Drag is not, right? Drag is not a joke to me. Drag is not funny to me. You make fun of drag.
You are trying to do comedy and humor inside of this beautiful, very serious art form that is about human hair wigs, highlighter, Swarovski crystals, and female illusion. I'm rooting for the London babes, girl.
London babes. Yeah, I'm excited to see which one of these London babes takes it. So who do you think is going to... Okay, we'll talk about the lip sync, and then I'll ask you who do you think is going to absolutely win. You clearly want it to be either Tace or Bims.
Correct.
Lip sync. Last thing on my mind. Live for this era of crazy, spastic, shitty clubhouse music. Oh, I live for
loved
it.
Loved the song. Loved the song.
Crazy. God. What do you think? I mean this is obviously a double Shantae. They double Shantae. What do you think?
Yes, Tace is incredible. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
A great lip sync artist. Can emote, can dance, can move. Ellie, to me, that was a chop. She should have gone home.
Mm.
And I don't know why they kept the top four. I think it's something they're doing now. This is what I wanted to talk about. This is what I was thinking about right before we got on the call.
Mm-hmm.
We, as Drag Race fans, when the show first started, we were like, fucking cutthroat, do it. Chop one by one. It's an 8-episode season. Let's get to the grind, right?
Yeah.
Then, after the show got super popular, season 4, season 5, it started to feel like, no, we want to get to know the girls a little more. Let's have a little more compassion. Especially because, I say this every time I talk about Drag Race, Drag Race is such a unique competition reality show because so many other shows, you never see the real world fallout.
Mm-hmm.
Do we remember a single winner of Fear Factor? Like what?
No.
It's an isolated incident on TV, but Drag Race, there's an entire economy of artists, there's entertainment, there's tours, these people go on to do, like, so there's
Drag
so
Race
much
extended universe. It has become the new
and
Marvel.
There's so much more investment, right, in these people. So in those middle seasons, we were so thrilled that Eureka got to come back after her knee injury. You know what I mean? We were so thrilled when there was like a last ditch double Shantae. And if this wasn't an extended season, we would have loved that Candy stuck around. And as viewers, you know, for the US version, and as viewers, we do because Candy is great TV and Simone is incredible in the show. And it's like, we don't want those girls to go home.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like now with everything being so over, like saturated, like all of the new, series being launched, Canada and Holland and Down Under and Spain and everything, girl, we gotta start cutting these hoes loose.
Girl, you gotta go. It's last call at the bar. You know, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Bye.
So, right. And so, you know, some people can argue there's like the Scarlett Bobo of it all, where like she didn't win a single single challenge and then slayed in the finale and easily could have taken the crown.
Yes, she did a fan unbelievable. Yeah, maybe best, one of the best finale performances ever. Yes.
But I'm like, why does it need to be a top four?
I don't know. I know. That's why I was like, are they doing a top four that's going to be like a little lip sync battle? A little. And I was like, because that would be fun. Obviously, it's COVID, but you can do a lip sync for the crown in the studio. Why the fuck not?
Yeah.
But that's not it, apparently. It's a classic choreo track right. finale.
I also really disliked Ellie's style of lip syncing because
you mean doing every drag queen move that's ever existed,
but poorly and without any authenticity.
Oh, fuck.
Like that is so shady, but it's like she clearly learned drag from Drag Race and she clearly learned drag from the internet because as she talks about being in Dundee, and I think that's incredible because that is what the point of Drag Race being the smash success that it is that we can spread queer artistry around the world. So we love that. But then getting up to lip sync and thinking your version of a hand performance, your attempt at a duck walk, and that
you
those...
You like her windshield wiper?
Well, I preferred the windshield wiper and the attempted cartwheel into a dip than the like, very, very poorly emulated ballroom moves, like which weren't anything. It was, like, bouncing on the ground and then, like, a flailing hand moment. I don't know. To me, I'm just like, there's the missing piece.
You are 100%
piece.
Right. The duck
there's
walk
the missing
so
piece
strong.
Of understanding the queer history related to what those things mean for performance.
Yeah, you're 100% right. There's something strange happening in the Drag Race universe. We love to see more Drag Race, but we're getting so much. And you're right that they're treating it kind of like EastEnders now. And these seasons will not end. They will go on forever because there's just like this like, yeah, now it's more like it's almost more sitcom-y than it was before.
And I'm curious to see, I want to see next week, is there something that happens next week with the structure of that final performance, that it's a four-part structure? Like that they
some people are saying so
people?
In the comments. Mm-hmm. Tom is saying eight bars. If there's four chunks of eight bars, that's the song.
Exactly. And maybe from the beginning in production, they were always going to do four, but they told the girls it was going to be top three to get that, crying moment from Ellie when she said she's an ugly crier. So listen, if this is their scheme, they pulled it off. You know, we were expecting a top three and it is a top four. But as a viewer, I find it
totally.
If it had been like Tace and Bimini in a double Shantae, and then one of them goes to win the crown, I would have been like, go off.
Yeah.
Which,
that would have been less surprising though, because you're like, I guess you're right. We're definitely not getting rid of Bimini. Come on. But I agree.
Right, but Tace, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, I think Tace absolutely deserves to be in the top, and I would be happy to see her win the crown. I am Team Bimini, but I would love for Tace to win the crown, too. And people also go like, oh, well, she lip-synced three times and won.
Yeah.
She lip-synced three times and won.
I mean, yeah, no, I mean, I agree. She's gaggy. She deserves to be there. If you can like escape death, Final Destination style, that many times, we all know you deserve to be alive at the end of the movie.
Right. And listen, the other thing people, and this is another frustrating thing that I think about Drag Race, which like is two-sided, because one, I'm like, well, Ellie doesn't have any repeater badges, so she needs to hit the door. But then the second, the alternative side of it is the competition is the competition as a whole. So if you make it to the end of that competition, either by being a sickening lip sync assassin, winning a bunch of mini challenges and then stacking the strategy in your order and being safe the whole time, or actually just winning a challenge, it doesn't matter how you get to the end. You know what I mean? Like, I'm also a firm believer in that.
Yeah. No, yeah, like, you know, Sasha Velour did it, and she gave us the best finale in Drag Race history.
Sure.
And it was just like, sorry, you won. If the assignment is win the last episode, you did that.
Correct. The assignment is not let's tally your score sheets. It's it's different than a pageant in that way. It's not about the final score. It's about who makes it the farthest.
Very Survivor. And I want to also say, as long as we're talking about double Shantays, I'm going to say the worst double Shantay in the history of the show is when Cynthia Lee Fontaine and Pheromone stay singing that horrible Meghan Trainor song. And then, you know, we have to say goodbye to Eureka for the first time. That's the worst lip sync in Drag Race history.
I still stand the first double sachet, the double elimination, I believe was Vivian Panay and Honey Mahogany.
Yes, you're given Britney and you take a diarrhea on stage, you have to go home.
Mr. Paul was like, you know what we're going to do tonight is goodbye. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
When that happened, I remember my heart sort of being like, oh, they can do anything they want. Like, I didn't sort of know beforehand that they could do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, Dipper, thank you so much for gagging along with us. What can we promote? How can we support you in these strange times?
Well, so I co-host a podcast called Sloppy Seconds with my friend and drag star Meatball. And we have episodes every Tuesday and Friday. And so you can check that out. And then I'm on Instagram right here at Big Dipper Jelly, also Big Dipper Jelly on Twitter. And in my evening life, I make music and music videos. So you can watch my music videos on YouTube and stream my music anywhere you get music. And if you appreciate the way I make things but don't necessarily want to interact with me, you can check out the podcasts that I produce, which are Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem. And on our network, we also have The Chop with Latresa Manila. Vary That with
Which Delta is a cooking. Kasha. That's about cooking, right?
The Chop is a cooking show where they at all review Drag Race UK.
How could they?
And
it's not possible.
We have a very fun spring lineup we're going to announce soon on the Mom.
Ooh, well, I love it. I love everything about Mom. I absolutely love every podcast you're involved with. I thank you for truly being a part of the queer tech renaissance.
Honey.
You are.
I got You're plugs. I got plugs and technology surrounding me right here. So yes, thank you. Thanks for having me on. This was so fun.
You're
this
the is best.
Cool that you stream this on Instagram. This is a fun way to do it.
Yeah, it's fun, and then it'll be on the pod feed next week. So check that out. Meatballs app is on the pod feed now. Check it out. Thank you so much. If you like this, go give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Interact with us here on the Instagram, and we'll see you next week when we have a UK winner.
Oh my God. So soon.
So soon. So soon. Ugh, so crazy. Well, Big Dipper, you're the best.
Likewise.
Bye, gal.
Have
some
a good weekend.
Soon.
Okay. Planning on it. Okay, bye.
Bye. Stella about to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her, drag her. That was a HeadGum Podcast.